Science proves quality sleep is vital to your mental, emotional, and physical health. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts to help keep you both effortlessly comfortable. And it's temperature balancing, so you stay cool. So you're at your best for yourself and those you care about most. Life-changing sleep, only from Sleep Number. It's our ultimate Sleep Number event. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed plus special financing, only for a limited time. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 22nd day of November 2022. And it happens to be my oldest son's birthday. Happy birthday, Matt. It's his birthday today. And, so he is 33 years old today. Now, I got to say this. we are walking today. We are the walking wounded. Are you there, Pastor Joe?
I'm sure here.
Okay. Pastor Joe from out there in way out yonder in Arkansas. Known as Joe
Arkansas.
Larson.
Arkansas. Uh-oh. That's an insult.
Okay.
Ooh, that's fighting words.
I mean, Missouri. Yeah, I kind of get the two mixed up. I'm sorry. Just see it if you're awake. All right. But anyhow, Joe, you didn't know what's going on around here. You know, tomorrow I'm going in for another treatment because I tore my left shoulder up. And you know that we've been praying for Lisa, because Lisa had a very, very bad fall, and she was in the hospital, and now she's on bed rest. And last night, Pastor Hal Larson, he fell asleep in the chair and fell out of the chair and injured his left shoulder.
Oh, no.
And then my other secretary, Heather, was, I don't know what happened to her, but somehow a box came out of no place and it hit her in the side. So you got all four of us are the walking wounded there today. And so I don't know what's going on, but we'll get through it, I guess. We have to turn to the Lord.
Don't feel bad. I'm wearing I joined the crowd. I'm wearing a wristband on the right arm. I'm going to go see surgeon on the or doctor on my neck and back tomorrow, and I'm about the same condition you guys are in, so it's apparently party time.
Yeah, I'm going in for an MRI on my shoulder tomorrow, so anyhow, yeah, it's something's happened to the good old folks, I guess. Anyhow, we got to get moving. Boy, we have a whole lot of stuff we got to cover tonight. I mean, a lot of stuff. So I got to get right on top of it. And do you know what the title of the message was? Give thanks to the Lord. It was give thanks to the Lord.
Give thanks.
To the Lord. Yep. Give thanks to the Lord. And we're going to start tonight. And I'll just give you a little update here, pre-op on this. This is here in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel was, this is right after Darius took over, and he defeated Belshazzar, took his kingdom, and Daniel was one of three presidents. And Daniel was the top. He was the number, the chief president. He was also the chief sheriff, and so amongst all of the princes. And so they had here a large number of princes. Let me just go here and read it. Now, let's just start with verse 1. We'll just take it verse 1. So go ahead and read verse 1 through verse 5.
Verse 1 through what?
5.
It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God.
So these guys were like the deep state. They were the deep state of today. They were doing like what they tried to do with President Trump. You had Hillary Clinton, you had Biden, you had Obama. The deep state, you had the FBI and the so-called Justice Department, all of those crooked cops. I mean, crooked and dirty cops. And right now today, there's still Merrick Garland, who is the top crooked cop in the country, is still trying to come up with some phony charges. But that's what happened here. And so now Darius liked Daniel. Do you know why that was? Because Daniel had a reputation of being one of the wisest men if not the wisest man living at the time. And so here now, pick it up in verse 6 and read it all the way through verse 12.
Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went unto his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees three times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Where did you want me to stop at?
Okay, I was going to have you go all the way down to read down to verse 12.
Okay. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not.
So now here, they had made this up, and the king actually, he couldn't go against his own decree. And so here, The king liked Daniel. The king really liked Daniel. So the king had a restless night. They threw Daniel in the lion's den. And the king had a very, very restless night all night long. And first thing in the morning, he rushed out to the lion's den. And he called out for Daniel. And Daniel said, oh, well, let me see. I'll just read him. Then the king rose early in the morning and went to haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said, Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest able to deliver thee from the lions? And then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, that I have done no hurt. Now here, in accordance with the Persian custom, this cruel punishment was transferred to those who had conspired against the king by flattering him in an unjust action, you see. So, in other words, flattering and lying to the king here, like Naboth did. What happens is you have to take the punishment of the person that you had accused who was found innocent. So the king threw the other two presidents along with their entire families into the lion's den, and they were all eaten by the lions. But the main portion of that was Daniel, when he had faith and he gave thanks to the Lord. He was not afraid. See, listen to me. He was not ashamed of the Lord. He was not afraid of that. He openly went out. In other words, when he was told, you cannot do this. You cannot hold church service today. You cannot go without the masks. You've got to do your distancing. All of these things that in the apostate church, they'll obey a corrupt government. And when they were told, remember when they told they left the abortion mills open there, and they left the
liquor stores,
the pot stores, all that open. Mm-hmm. But then they said, right, Close the churches. And we've had a number of people that have come to our church because where they were going, they closed the church. They obeyed the government, not God. And so here, that was the situation with Daniel. Daniel obeyed God. Daniel obeyed God and not this decree, not that they had made. And so that was the whole point here, that
Big
Daniel...
point, too, to remember, wasn't Daniel a pretty old man about this time? Wasn't he around 80 years old?
Yeah, he was. He was getting pretty old at this time, yep. But he was known to be the wisest man. In fact, the Lord actually uses Daniel as an example, because of Daniel's wisdom, over in Ezekiel, I believe it is in Ezekiel chapter 28, when you read with about Ethabel the third, and that was not Hillary, that was Jezebel's nephew. And the Lord uses Daniel. He said, now he's chiding Ethabel the third. Ethabel the third had proclaimed himself to be a god, like George Soros and like Obama and some of the others. And here it says, the word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god. I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Now here he says, he's chiding him. He says, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. Oh, there is no secret that they can hide from thee. And so here Daniel was known for his wisdom, his great, great wisdom. And he was highly respected. And because he was known that he was a great prophet of God. And so we started out...
Interesting, in our situation, these people that have plotted against the president. I still, you know, you and I call him our President Trump. All of those that committed perjury and treason and laid traps and plans and lied, most of them have been rewarded by promotions or moved to become people on talk or on television or experts, what do you call it, experts that bring into the news to perpetrate the narrative and keep the lies going. And the problem is we don't have that many people like Daniel who would stand up and just say, this is what it is, you know. We will continue to do what is right, and that's the problem with America. What is the old saying, evil triumphs when good men do nothing? And we've had for a long time in this country a dearth of courage of men willing to stand up and say what's going on. And even we've had, what, now 11, I think they said, FBI agents that have come in as whistleblowers.
Oh, no, no. Should have been. Right now, listen, it just came out now. In fact, it was a week ago where here they had announced 20, that they'd had 20 whistleblowers here.
We should have had 120, 220 people coming out and saying, look what's going on. We should have had some lawyers from the Department of Justice. We should have had agents from the IRS. We should have had people from the Department of Education.
Well, all Jim Jordan said
last
week, you know, Jim Jordan said there was 20. This week has come out that they believe that they have, the Congress has, as many as 100 FBI whistleblowers now. And so I hope
that's true. That is a blessing because that's what we've needed for a long, long time.
I know they just really put Chris Wray. In fact, I played a clip last night of Senators Johnson and Josh Hawley from Missouri there, and they put Christopher Wray on the hot seat. They really nailed him there. Now you have even some of the liberal media now. It looks like they're starting to turn. It looks like, hey, this is coming down. The Republicans going to be in. These guys are serious. Maybe we got to switch while we can. But anyhow, Joe, when I yesterday I gave a list of the things that we were thankful for, and I started out by saying that I was thankful that I was born alive at a time in America when the murder of preborn children was still considered a crime, and there was a much, much higher caliber and morally superior Supreme Court than that of 1973. Killing children was repulsive to the vast majority of women of the day of that day when I was born. And so, Joe, for 6,000 years, killing children has been a crime. But now you got this wicked court that have all of a sudden decided that it's no longer a crime. And then I said, Joe, that I was born in America when she was still great because she was still good. And the home of the free because of the brave. And Joe, I said, I grew up in the freest and the most prosperous nation that the world had ever known. I was blessed. I was thankful because America was one nation under God, indivisible with freedom and justice at that time. It used to be for all. It's not that way today. We got two different forms of justice now. I said I was thankful that I grew up in a two-parent home, which is not all that common nowadays. I said I was thankful that I was able to serve my country when she was great and the most powerful and the best trained and best equipped military that the world had ever known. Today, she is the weakest that she's ever been. Our military, Austin and Millie, are destroying her daily. They've knocked out the brightest and the best are being thrown out. I said I was thankful for a marriage that has lasted for 54 years. On the 16th, I was married for 54 years, Joe. I says I'm thankful that I was able to send my sons and grandson to Christian school, good Christian schools. I was thankful that we still have time to reclaim America for God. If we can muster the will to do that, Joe. I was thankful that I was able to preach the gospel message of salvation from coast to coast, Joe. This is a, what do you think? There's less than 1% of the people, probably maybe, I don't know, what would you say, 100% of the people in the country can do what we're doing, preaching the gospel from coast to coast.
That's a very small number. I know that much.
And I was thankful.
Thanks
yeah.
to our loyal listeners who support us.
And, right.
Like we always say, we can thank them, but God is the one who will bless them.
Absolutely. I was thankful to be the pastor of such a church as I pastor. And, you know, for a while I pastored two doers of the word church at the same time. And Joe, you know, I was approached by people from a mega church. They came, some deacons came in to see me, and they asked me if I would be willing to candidate. Their pastor was leaving, and come pastor their church. And this is an evangelical church, a large but not a fundamentalist Baptist church. And I told him, I said, you got to be kidding me. You guys are a 501c3 corporation, and my preaching is going to be much too hard for you guys. You guys are nowhere, that church is nowhere near ready for my preaching. I'd last one Sunday. And they said, you're absolutely right. That's why we need you. Those people there need to hear what you're preaching. They need the meat of the word, not the pablum they've been getting. And I said, but you don't understand. I would not last there if I went there, okay? And they said, well, there's a number of us in there that want you. And I said, well, if that's the case, then why don't you leave there and come here where you can hear preaching? Yeah. And so they didn't want to give up the big corporation, the big building, all of the money that was put in there. And they were, you know, they had a corporation, and of course, you had a board of directors and all of that in the big corporation, and that's not what we're about, okay? And then, Joe, here's the last but not least. I said that, you know, I have many, many, many more things to be thankful for, but most of all, that God chose me before the foundation of the world to spend eternity with him in glory. And that, you can't be any more thankful for anything, can never ever possibly mean as much to anyone as that.
No, and nothing can come close.
Amen. So, anyhow, we're up against the break. We're going to play a clip, Joe, and this is going to be one about, you got the Bill Gates close shop. Now, remember, we've been warning people. For years, we've been telling people about the depopulation program, the depopulation, and what's happened, the vast majority of people in this country just could not wrap their brains around it. They just could not let it sink in that there were people that want to eliminate, and these people are going to do that. Now, they'll tell you it's much easier to get the cooperation of the people if you plan this and you tell them ahead of time what you're going to do. So they're prepared, and I'm not kidding you. This is the way they do this, okay? And like I said, I'm going to be preaching on, Lord's willing, your enemy wants to destroy you. He is counting on your continued support, okay? Because the vast majority of people out there today, by their actions, they're assisting the opposition in eliminating and depopulating the planet. And so with that, Lenny is our champion of the board tonight. He is standing guard while, well, one of our others are out, and that is Craig tonight. He is also down. So we definitely are the walking wounded tonight. So Lenny, would you play that clip?
Bill Gates has become so arrogant in recent times that he is happy for the cameras to catch him saying the quiet parts out loud.
You know, is spending $1 million on that last 3 months of life for that patient, would it be better not to lay off those 10 teachers and to make that trade-off in medical costs. But that's called the death panel, and you're not supposed to have that discussion. So you, of course,
well, that's an interesting thing you just said, which is just the last 3 months in life for one person or something, because we haven't had a discussion of how to allocate that money, it means we lay off three teachers to do so. I mean, in other words,
we're making that trade-off because of huge medical costs that are not examined to see which ones actually have no benefit whatsoever.
Well, wait,
and because of pension generosity, we will be laying off over 100,000 teachers, which, you know, I'm very much against that. And the whole AFT will agree with me on that.
Terrifying stuff, I'm sure you'll agree. Gates doesn't explain why we can't pay teachers and allow people to live out their lives in peace. Why is it either or? After all, in the past, we didn't have any problem paying teachers their salaries and allowing our elderly to enjoy their grandchildren during their golden years. This is the brutal, murderous world Bill Gates and his associates at the World Economic Forum are determined to roll out as part of their Great Reset. We can't allow their evil logic to become the new normal. If you are wondering what else they have up their sleeve, it's worth paying attention to what was happening at the G20 in Bali, Indonesia this week. The G20 is a summit featuring leaders of the most important economies in the world, and it's a mix of countries considered to be advanced or developing. Beyond the rooms where world political leaders sit around and thrash out various issues, there are dozens of side events where so-called dignitaries meet. As James Melville asked on Twitter, why were Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab in attendance at the G20? No one voted for them. The mainstream media is declaring anyone who asks this question to be a conspiracy theorist, but it's a totally legitimate question to ask. The world's richest man and the new emperor of Twitter, Elon Musk, was also in attendance there, just before he completely backtracked on his promises to turn Twitter into a free speech platform. Musk once declared himself a free speech absolutist. Now he is point-blank refusing to reinstate Alex Jones's account and warning that freedom of speech does not mean freedom of reach. Musk appeared at the G20 alongside the more established figures of the globalist elite, including Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab, who has already used the forum to instruct world leaders to begin restructuring the global economy in line with the WEF's techno-communist vision. For his part, Gates is using the forum to instruct world leaders that death panels will be necessary in the near future in order to end the lives of sick and unwell people due to very, very high medical costs. Of course, Gates' death panels have everything to do with the globalist elite's obsession with depopulation. Bill Gates' plans for death panels mirrors the language used by the World Economic Forum regarding euthanasia, and the Canadian government's devilish new solution to solve inflation, homelessness, skyrocketing crime, and food shortages: euthanasia for the poor. The Trudeau regime say they are now offering to pay to euthanize people who are too poor to continue living with dignity.
This is violence. This is medicalized violence. Why isn't this being covered? Why aren't we talking about it? Especially when it's poor people, especially when it's working class people who are structurally pushed into that. I think that's a question worth asking.
Well, sure. And there's this very difficult problem, what do you do when an economy based on finance starts to go south and average people, you know, can't kind of sustain themselves? Do you do guaranteed basic income or whatever? This seems like an obvious choice for ghouls, neoliberal ghouls, like we'll just get, you know, force poor people to kill themselves.
And how many times have we heard from Canada about their healthcare system, their social care system, talking down to us about so many things? And now it's come home to roost. Canada's policies are seen for what they are. And Canada has their own problems. We need to learn from this. We need to say, look, what's happening to our poor people, to our disabled people? The dementia population, Tucker, which we talked about the early part of the pandemic, is set to double in the next 20 years. It's going to triple in the next 30 years. What are we going to do? Are we going to put the resources in to care for them? If we don't, I really only see two options: so-called robot care or straight up no chaser euthanasia.
Yeah. So why don't politicians just say out loud now? I mean, so many things we're seeing now we couldn't have imagined 10 years ago or 5 years ago even, and now they're commonplace.
That's right.
Killing yourself is not liberation. It's really sad. You shouldn't be forced to do it. Like, why does nobody say that?
Well, your show is an example of giving people a voice who have no voice. The people who are most dramatically impacted by this, the working class and the poor, don't have a voice. And so we need to decide. And it's so interesting to see the political realignment underway. Which party is going to be the voice of the working class, the working, and of the poor, to be on the side of people who say, I don't want to die. I don't want to die, but I don't see any option given what's been offered me. That's just diabolical.
It is. Diabolical is the word for it. And you've been writing about this for so long. And thank you for doing that. Professor, great to see you.
Canada's descent into barbarism should come as no surprise. The Canadian government has been completely penetrated by the WEF. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and his deputy, Chrystia Freeland, are both WEF Young Global Leaders who have completely sold their soul to Klaus Schwab and his vision for the future. And make no mistake, that vision involves depopulating the world. The technocrats in charge at the WEF are so excited by their plan to murder the majority of the world's population that they simply can't stop talking about it.
So in the session we just attended here at the Economic Forum, I think there was a sense of relief, actually, in your frankness. You brought up some issues that others are reluctant
to bring up. That's my
trouble.
Always. All the religious groups are against me because I'm talking about population. They want more souls. I want less on the planet.
At what point do we stop and say, enough? How many times does the World Economic Forum have to declare their sinister intentions before the world stops and listens? Klaus Schwab's right-hand man, Yuval Noah Harari, has a history of saying the quiet part out loud. And last month, he admitted what many people have long suspected. According to Harari, who was promoting his new book, the big political question for the 21st century for those in power is, what do we need so many humans for? And it's not even the first time Yuval Noah Harari has let slip regarding their plans for humanity. He recently declared that the WEF considers the vast majority of the human population to be useless and obsolete. According to Harari, so-called common people are right to be fearful of a future in which they will be made redundant.
COVID is critical because this is what convinces people to accept, to legitimize total biometric surveillance. If we want to stop this epidemic, we need not just to monitor people, we need to monitor what's happening under their skin.
What we have seen so far, it's corporations and governments collecting data about where we go, who we meet, what movies we watch. The next phase is the surveillance going under our skin. We're now seeing mass surveillance systems established even in democratic countries, which previously rejected them. And we also see a change in the nature of surveillance. Previously, surveillance was mainly above the skin. Now it's going under the skin. Governments want to know not just where we go or who we meet. Above all, they want to know what is happening under our skin. What's our body temperature? What's our blood pressure? What is our medical condition? Now humans are developing even bigger powers than ever before. We are really acquiring divine powers of creation and destruction. We are really upgrading humans into gods. We are acquiring, for instance, the power to re-engineer life. I know that in recent years, we saw populist politicians undermining deliberately the trust that people have in important institutions like universities, like respectable media outlets. These populist politicians told people that, say, scientists are this small elite disconnected from the real people.
I mean, all this story about Jesus rising from the dead and being the Son of God, this is fake news.
Humans are now hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, this, they have this soul or spirit and they have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will, that's over.
Harari's comments are deeply disturbing because when they are placed in context with comments by other WEF advisors like Bill Gates and his desire for death panels, it becomes clear that they have mass murder on their mind. How much more evidence is required before conspiracy theory becomes a conspiracy fact?
We're back, and you know, Joe, they have the full support, Gates and Klaus Schwab, and they have the full support and backing of NBC, ABC, CBS, PMSNBC, CNN. You folks, you have to understand, again, like I said, They want to destroy you, but they need your continued assistance and going along. In other words, keep doing what you have been doing to help them continue. And this is, for example, here, infant euthanasia proposed by Quebec College of Physicians. This is Antichrist. You have to understand the day that you're living in. What they're calling science is not science. What they're calling science is sin. It's a horrible, horrible transgression of dominion of God. And again, they can only do it if you will continue to abide by. In other words, everywhere you go, when they tell you you have to wear masks, this, this, and that, it's the conditioning, complete and total conditioning. And what you need to do is, because you're locked in, not just with that, they have lost the medical association, has lost all credibility. They've lost, people don't trust them. They're starting to realize that. But you've just got to learn to say no, stand up. I would go, they have now frontline doctors. They have, which are growing in huge numbers. They actually have, there's organizations now, doctors are making house calls again, Joe. And they don't run in your house and try to jam things up your nose. Yeah. So, and it's because they realize, hey, you know what? There's, the people are getting fed up. The people have to awaken and come away from their conditioning, don't they?
That and then they have to learn something else. I think, I can't remember, but for at least 30 years, I had been talking about how the enemy comes out and tells us what they're going to do, how they're going to do it, and then the world never seems to listen to the warning, and all of a sudden after it's happened, everybody like, how did this happen? How did we get here? What can we do about it? And I go all the way back to the Fabian socialists in the 1890s, said exactly what their plans were for the world. They followed them through. They completed them. The Fabian socialists in the early 1900s, I mean the cultural Marxists in the early 1900s, they talked about how they were going to create this cultural Marxism, political correctness, how they would use the culture to bring communism to America, and I, on and on and on. And you and I have done this so often. Here, you know, Barack Obama, the total transformation of America, how we were going to transform us from a constitutional republic to a socialist democracy. And here we are in the throes of a revolution, and people still can't figure out we're in the middle of a revolution. So I find it kind of the song that never ends.
Well, Joe,
we've been singing a song, and it doesn't end. We keep putting out the same message, and the world does not listen to the warnings. They're not listening to Klaus Schwab, and they're saying what they're going to do, and the people don't seem to get it.
Well, here, if we go back, all the way back to the 60s, when you had the so-called sexual revolution, when you had Nikita Khrushchev here, when he took off his shoe and he beat the top of the desk and he said, we will destroy you from within, we will do it through your youth. We will take over your education system will be taken over. And
cultural Marxism was in full swing right then, wasn't it?
Right. So we were preaching earlier in the early 70s, if you love your children, get them out of the public school. So yesterday, I was talking to a young woman, and I was telling her about, you know, how we had warned people about putting their children in the public school. She asked me, what is happening? What is going on out here? This is insanity. I think they were talking about some of the latest strange things happening out there. Well, anyhow, and so I told her, I said, well, you know, we were telling people all the way back in the early 70s about, get, if you love your children, get them out of the public school, get them out of there. And she says, well, my boys go to a public school. And I said, you need to get them out of there yesterday. And she said, well, look, they're going to learn that. You can't shelter them from all this insanity. They're going to get it on the Internet. So what do? You just hurry things up. You throw them right in the public school system. And so Now, here's the good news on that part, Joe. In the midterm elections, a huge number of school boards were taken over by parents.
You wouldn't know that from listening to the news, would you?
No, but and the left sees this as a major, major threat. And so, and that's one of the things they really went after Chris Ray for and Merrick Garland for, putting out that order to go after parents, any parents that went and challenged the school board, to mark them as terrorists. And so, that is a little bit of good news here. Anyhow, what they were talking about in Canada here, I've got an article here. Infant euthanasia proposed by Quebec College of Physicians. A presentation by Dr. Louis Roy from the Quebec College of Physicians to the Special Joint Committee on what is called Special Joint MAID on Friday, urged Canada's federal government to adopt a Netherlands Groningen style of protocol to permit infant euthanasia. So Dr. Roy suggested that this should be allowed in circumstances such as a newborn who is unlikely to survive, or infant euthanasia opens the door to new justifications for killing, since the baby lacks competence and the ability to autonomously choose to be killed. It is a form of eugenics whereby protocols will determine which lives are worth living. And you see, again, remember, it was back in the 80s. We warned people. We were warning people back in the 80s about this, that it was coming this way. So remember what Khrushchev said. It's going to take a while. And it took a while. And the Jane Fondas of that day, and the John Kerrys of that day, and the Jerry Rubins of that day, well, they became in power. Well, let me say the Bill and Hillary Clintons of that day, they became in power, and they brought with them that death mindset, the Antichrist, and that's exactly what it is. And I think the people better understand, if they don't learn to understand what we're facing, this is not a political party. What we're up against is a satanic church. That's exactly what they are. I read an article here, Joe. Listen to this. Major Christian leaders asked January 6th committee to investigate Christian nationalism. In other words, these apostate, this is the apostate church. These are no more Christian, Joe, than you and I are LGBTQ. They are no more Christian, Joe. These are literally World and National Council of Churches are satanic. And I'll just read you a little bit. A group of prominent Christian leaders, including the heads of major denominations, say they submitted a letter earlier this year to the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol, urging members to examine Christian nationalism and arguing the ideology played a crucial role in the insurrection. Say, Christian nationalism is another name for Christian patriots, who believe in America. It goes on, in addition to the BJC head, Amanda Taylor, signers of the letter included prominent faith leaders. Listen to this, such as the heads of mainline, historically black denominations, along with signatories as the Most Reverend Michael B. Curry. These are not at all, listen, not at all Christians. He is the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church. The Episcopal Church has gone completely and totally apostate. The Reverend David Peoples, president of the Progressive National Baptist Convention. These are
Baptist, yeah. Uh-huh.
These are satanic apostate. These are satanic. These are not in any way, form, or short Christian. Listen, the Reverend Elizabeth A. Eaton, presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. These, again, folks, these are not Christians by any means. These are satanic people. These are apostate, so-called apostate preachers. and you want nothing to do with them. All right, Joe, 9-hour hearing held in Delaware County after officials took a detour from counting center into a closed building for 6 hours on Election Day. What do you know about that?
Well, it's the same old story. It is going on, and this is according to a report at the Gateway Pundit. Bill Lawrence Online is a report about this 9-hour hearing before a judge, Barry Dozer, on election abnormalities there, and a ruling is expected soon. There were other concerns there other than that. The county wanted to delete 194 voter registrations after people voted. Ballots were mailed to unverified voters. Records of requests for nearly 2,800 mail-in ballots were erased. And there's more, and this is all in Pennsylvania, and a lot of this going on in Delaware County. And their argument, they watched the chain of custody was changed by detouring the election night journey of the county's physical ballots and V-drives for the 6 hours into a closed building. Poll watchers were prohibited from entering. Doesn't that sound like the last election?
It sounds like what happened in Michigan, where they actually made sure.
And all of a sudden, all these votes. So here we are, the same story. Now, then they went to the centralized counting center there, what they call the Wharf Building in Chester. County officials, everything's routine, but this gentleman, Strensen, is an attorney, testified that he saw a cart with about 20 to 30,000 pre-canvas ballots without pedigree, in other words, they hadn't been marked yet, at the Wharf election night, at the Wharf on election night at about at 8.05 p.m. And then about 25,000 votes almost immediately appeared with lopsided margin for Democrats. It's the same story. We just changed the date, a couple names, and we go back to the last election, and here we have the same thing going on. Voters Leah Hoops, Gregory Strensen, and Nicole Miss Eno. Asked for verification to have all the votes delayed until this evidence about irregularities can be reviewed. So it's in a court.
What did you do, Joe?
I don't know. Somebody pushed a button.
Hey, Lenny.
Thing. I'm wearing my headset, so apparently they didn't.
All right. Okay.
That's we're used to things. It's live radio, but Pastor, I was saying, you just change a couple of names, change a couple of dates, and this is an old story from the 2016 election, right?
It happens. It continues to happen. But you know, the interesting thing.
Maricopa County. The same thing, folks, is going on. I've got all kinds of stories here from Maricopa County, and there's all kinds of shenanigans going on there. I don't know. I don't know when they'll learn, but I do know that there is one big breaking news, and that is this. CBS News authenticated the 10% for the big guy story. Yep, CBS News had a broadcast, a report of its own investigation featuring an independent forensic analysis that concluded the laptop indeed belongs to Hunter Biden and the messages are authentic. Former Fox reporter Catherine Herridge, titled Inside Hunter Biden's Laptop, presented the voicemail evidence that Joe Biden, contrary to his repeated insistence, discussed with his son the business. And they showed the email about the big guy confirmed by two people who were part of the communication to be Joe Biden was to receive 10% cut in the deal with the Chinese Communist Party-controlled energy firm.
Now, I've got a question for you, Joe. I got a question for you, because for the last 4 years, NBC, ABC, CBS, PMSNBC, CNN, they've all done, you know, the same old, the laptop was a Russian, it was a part of a Russian scheme. Now, so they denied it, they denied it, they denied it, and they denied it. Now, Joe, what do you think, I'm going to give you two options, that CBS has decided to come to do the right thing. They found out now that Joe Biden really was the big guy, and now it's time for them to come out with the truth,
or
that since everybody knows it, that the story is out, I mean, it's all over the place, and CBS, along with NBC and ABC, they lost a lot of credibility by denying it like they have in so many other cases. So they've got to, it looks like there's going to be hearings, and all of this stuff is going to happen. The hearings, the Republic's going to get the House back, and so they might as well switch the story. Maybe it might even be to some degree better for them if they should maybe change sides. Because
they're not changing sides. They're going to come out with, we've been diligent. We've had these people analyzing, investigating, and before it wasn't proven, and now we've proved it. They're going to make it sound like they're the ones that proved all these things are now true. We proved it to be true. They're kind of trying to get out in front of it, get some credibility, and also I think they've realized that Joe Biden is now a liability instead of an asset, and they're just going to have to come out and do something else.
You think they've decided it's time for Joe to go?
Too much baggage. Too many lies, too much baggage, too much, you know, coming out on him and his family, and they've got to get out from under it. Yep.
You know, let's go over to Kerry Lake for a minute. I will become governor, Kerry Lake drops bomb after Arizona Attorney General office demands the answers from Maricopa County regarding Election Day voter suppression. Now, this comes at the same time when the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, with huge standing ruling ahead of Kerry Lake, Arizona legal showdown. So this means that here, Kerry Lake, not only can Kerry Lake have standing, but all of those who have said, wait a minute, this is election fraud now, as a group, according to this ruling here by this Ninth Circuit Court, and they're not known for doing anything right.
Yeah.
So now they can bring this huge lawsuit. And Trump endorsed Kerry Lake, has insisted that she will become the governor now that Arizona Attorney General's office demanded answers from Maricopa County regarding voter suppression that occurred on Election Day. The 2022 midterm election was rigged against Trump-endorsed candidates in Arizona, and voters' ballots were stolen, not counted, and they were prevented from voting altogether. The November 8th election in Arizona.
A whole list of other things, too, not just that stolen, but...
Well, we're going to pick that up on the other side, because we're coming up to a break. And, we're just about... How many seconds do I have? I'm there.
You have 20.
Okay. So we're coming up to a break. When we come back, we'll pick this up here. Then, you know what? We've got... I'm going to play a clip, too.
10 seconds.
Showing you that the people that investigated this, how they were thrown in prison for doing their job. Be right back after this with more. Don't go away.
Fight the fire.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. Watching your hard-earned dollars fly out the window on healthcare costs is frustrating. Well, here's something that can really help, and it's worth taking a minute to look into. MediShare 65 Plus. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills, and it really is a community too. People encourage and pray for each other. Well, MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. It's a great way to fight inflation too. You can lock in one low monthly price for up to 10 years. And it's easy. You can use any Medicare approved doctor or get 24/7 telehealth access from the comfort of your home. Very worth looking into during Medicare open enrollment, which ends December 7th. If you join right now, your second month share will be free. So don't miss this chance. Call 833-SHARE-24. That's 833-SHARE-24. 833-SHARE-24.